Good evening, everybody. It's a privilege to be here with you tonight, just to be coming and sharing God's word. And I thank God for all that he is doing in this fellowship, and that we can come in freedom and fellowship in this way, in this place. And as John has highlighted there tonight, how everything's going to get up and running again, and how we're really going to be leaning on the Lord for his power and his blessing upon all the ministries that will be taking off again in September. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do in the midst. And as I come tonight, I've been wrestling with a message, and it's been very challenging for me as I've been studying this passage and studying this topic. And the topic is prayer, and as John has highlighted again this evening, that prayer is the key to all things. Prayer is the key. It's the most powerful thing that the believer can do, is enter into prayer. So we're going to speak tonight about things that hinder prayer, and I'm going to talk about things that hinder us getting into prayer, and things that hinder prayer when we're in prayer. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn to 1 Peter, and we're going to look at chapter 3, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 12. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 12. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewellery and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And we end the reading there, and we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts and minds this evening. Here is, in this passage here, by Peter's use of words, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. It is quite clear here that the apostle takes it for granted that Christians do habitually pray. Prayer is assumed to be the regular habit of the believing soul, but should we take it for granted that every Christian prays? Unfortunately, some Christians do not pray. How often we are hindered from praying. And even when we do pray, how often our prayers are hindered. We know this because it's true, because of our experiences tells us this is true. The Bible tells us what those hindrances are. And as we read here, and scattered through the Word of God are clear warnings and statements that leave us in no doubt at all as to how our prayers are hindered. There's a few passages of Scripture, and I've been thinking of a few here. And I'll read out a few, and Alec's going to put some up on the PowerPoint to see what Scripture says about this. Psalm 66 and verse 18. I had cherished sin in my heart. The Lord would not have listened. Proverbs 21 and 13, take note. Proverbs 28 and 9. If anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable. Another was Isaiah 59, verse 2, take note. But you're Malachi 3, verses 7 and 10, take note. Matthew 5:23-24, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. There's others, James 4 and 3, take note. 1 John 3, 21-22. These are just some verses in the Holy Scriptures that come and highlight to us the specific things that can hinder prayer in our lives. And also that there are conditions that have to be met if prayer is to be effective. In this study here, we are first to think of some of the things that hinder us from getting to prayer, as I said earlier, and then we'll look at some of the things that hinder us from prevailing in prayer, you know, succeeding in prayer, getting God's ear in prayer. You know, sometimes when we pray, we feel that God's not answering. But hindrances in getting to prayer. There are many various hindrances we meet in coming to prayer. If we allow ourselves to become spiritually slack, careless, we shall soon find that prayer is hindered. Our desire for prayer will go, and our estimate of prayer will change completely. Or if we neglect the Word of God and give up reading the Bible, if the Bible sits gathering dust in the house, you know, God's Word stimulates us into prayer and encourages us, the reading of His Word. Another we can look at is overwork. Overwork will crowd out prayer. It's possible to be so busy for God that there's little or no time left for quiet, uninterrupted prayer. You know, we need to be very aware as God's people, as His fellowship here, we need to be aware of the barrenness of a busy life. The barrenness of a busy life. Quiet, uninterrupted prayer. It's the hardest thing for me to try and find in a day. A worldly spirit can hinder prayer. If our affections are set upon earthly things to such an extent that we're neglecting heavenly and spiritual things, then we'll lose interest in prayer. And we could even reach the point where we didn't feel like praying. I've been there. I know what that feels like. You know, things that hinder us from prevailing in prayer. Remember hearing Tom Shaw speak about prevailing in prayer. We need to prevail in prayer. We need to prevail. And Tom Shaw had such a way of putting that through. And you know, we want to prevail in prayer, don't we? Let's think about a few things that prevent prayer from being effective and successful in this passage of Scripture that we've just read. Very often we pray, but our prayers don't bring the answer. Yet God is waiting to give. There's no hindrance on God's side, but there is a hindrance on our side. 1 Peter 3, the apostle mentions different hindrances to effective prayer, which are in and around verse 7. It'd be good for us in the fellowship to look at some of these carefully and search our own hearts and, if necessary, adjust our lives so that there may be nothing in us and in our hearts, or in our homes, or in our habits, or in our relationships with man or with God that would hinder us from really prevailing in prayer. You know, I think of the youth work all beginning to start up again, and I'm thinking if I'm going to be useful to the young people in service, we want to be able to prevail in prayer. We want to touch God's ear about those young people that are outside of Christ. We want to see them in the kingdom, as John has said. We want to see them in. We want to see them going on with the Lord and prevailing in prayer. So when we pray and fail to get the answer to our prayers, it may be due to one of the following reasons that I've noted here. The first one is not having a right relationship with God. This is mentioned here in verse 12, and the word to notice here in particular is the word there. That is the reference here to the prayers of the righteous, or those who are right with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We must know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour and God as our Heavenly Father before we can be sure that our prayers are answered. And hallelujah, praise God, as we gather here as God's people, we pray that we're in a right relationship with God. We're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Excuse me. Another point I've noted here is not having a right relationship with others. Here is a hindrance, and this is brought before us in verses 1 to 7. Particularly, we notice that the relationship between husband and wife must be that which honours God. I'm working on mine daily. Daily. And she's in here tonight, so I need to be careful what I say. But it is a daily working out, these relationships and marriage and with other people. So prayer can be hindered by wives not recognising her God-ordained place in verse 1. Wives in the same way be submissive to their husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behaviour of their wives. Verse 7, husbands can hinder. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as weaker partners, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So there's a working out among the people here. So these verses are very searching into our lives, aren't they? But it shows us how important that it is to make sure our relationship with other people is pleasing to God. Pleasing to God. So important. One thing in particular that hinders prayer is an unforgiving spirit. An unforgiving spirit. A grudge, maybe. A bitter root, maybe. You know, I remember as a young Christian, I remember getting into a wild twist high about something. Somebody said something about me, or said something about our fellowship or something. I got into a bit of a stir. I can't remember what it was. But I remember a Christian that had walked the narrow way a bit farther than I had and took me to the side one morning and said, "Ricky," she said, "didn't he let a bitter root get in? Didn't he let a bitter root get in?" You know, Hebrews 12 and verse 15 says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." To cause trouble and defile many. I thank God for that woman that shared that with me, because she was right. It'll only grow up to cause trouble and defile many. Thank God for fellowship. So, relationships with people and having a right relationship with people is so important. The other point I noted here was a proud spirit can hinder prayer. A proud spirit can hinder prayer. You know, in verse 4 there, it speaks of an unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. What a lovely sounding spirit that is. It's a beautiful thing, you know, to have a meek and quiet spirit. Luke 18, verse 14 says this, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." You know, when we come to the throne of grace and realize God's greatness and our nothingness, that's when we'll be in a great place of prayer. And will be so effective when we realise this. You know, a lack of Christian love can hinder prayer. We see it in verses 8 and 9 here. as it reads, "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate, humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to you you were called so that you may inherit a blessing." These things are written down for us to show us the hindrances that's keeping us from prevailing in prayer. Compassionate people we need to be. We need to be pitiful, courteous, kind, gentle. These are the conditions that must be met before we can be successful prayers in the kingdom. Ephesians 4 and 32 says this: "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." I'm still working this all out with fear and trembling in my life and my walk. I'm not up here giving a heavy challenge to you people here tonight, brothers and sisters in Christ. This challenged me to my bones as I go forward into a new time here in this church among young people. This challenged me. I want to get through to God. Unclean lips will hinder prayer. Verses 10 and 11 says, "Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it." Searching words again, they tell us that lips that utter prayer must be clean, and that God will in fact never hear and answer prayers that are uttered by lying or unkind lips. Isaiah 59 verses 1 to 2 says this: "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." He will not hear. Not he can't hear, he'll not hear. You know, another thing we can look at here is a bad conscience. Bad conscience will hinder prayer. Verse 16 there speaks of keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. A good conscience. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to look up into the face of our loving Father and to know and have a clear conscience, know his blessing. I strive for it every day. Every day. I strive for it every day. A clear conscience. Acts 24 verse 16 tells us this: "So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man." Why? Because we want God's ear. We want that relationship to stay open. You know, I have a wee book here I was reading through, and it's been very useful. Power Through Prayer, E.M. Bounds. He's a man of God from the 1800s and the Confederate States, and he knew a lot about prayer. And I found a wee quote in it from Robert Murray McShane. It's a wee book I got from Maud Blair before she went on to glory. She shared a few books with me and said that I could maybe make use of them. Well, we'll make use of this one this evening. Robert Murray McShane said this: "Speak for eternity. Above all things, cultivate your own spirit. A word spoken by you when your conscience is clear and your heart is full of God's Spirit is worth 10,000 words spoken in unbelief and sin. Remember that God and not man must have the glory. If the veil of the world's machinery was lifted off, how much would we find is done in answer to the prayers of God's children?" Prayer's mighty. Prayer's a wonderful, wonderful, powerful tool in the hands of the believer. What a mighty thing it was, a mighty tool in the hand of my dear wife as she cried and wept for my soul in the prayer rooms of Drumrea. And God answered prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, when we come to the place of prayer to make our requests known to the Lord, and we remember something that is displeasing or grieving to Him. And you know, the Lord's a great way of revealing the hindrances too, as you know, especially when we get down into a place of prayer. When we get into that place, if there's something grieving God, He usually could reveal it up to us. And you know, what we need to do with that thing, it must be dealt with. We need to get it dealt with if we're going to make God's ear. How do we get these hindrances removed? Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, tonight we need to be disciplined in the practice of prayer. And we must remove the hindrances that God reveals to us. There's conditions for getting God's ear. This we can do by confessing and forsaking that which is wrong. And God will reveal those things to us along the way. 1 John 1 verses 9 tells us this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's the God we serve. You know, folks, as we enter into a new period in our church and children are gathering in, and we pray God will continue to bring them in, and people continue to add to our numbers here in the congregation, we pray that we will get God's ear and we'll ask that God would move in their hearts and in their lives in the year to come. Just like people did for us one time, praying and praying through and prevailing in prayer. I'll close tonight with one verse, 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then, and then, I will hear from heaven, and will heal their land. Men and women tonight, there's a criteria there for written in God's word for effective, successful prayer. I want to get into it. And I'm sure everybody here tonight wants to get into it. And one day when we stand in glory and we look into His wonderful face, and we've heard it said many's a time from men of old, I wish I'd given Him more. Well, you know, you could have worked hard in the church. You could have ticked every box in the fellowship. And at the funeral, the minister could say how wonderful a servant you were in the church. But you know, how wonderful a servant were we on our knees, giving all praise and all glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who kept us and sustained us along the narrow way during all the efforts that we've done. How many times will we think, I wish I'd given Him more in the prayer rooms along the journey of life?